You're listening to the School Success Formula with me, Lucy Parsons. This is episode number 21. In this episode today, we're talking all about goal setting and how using goals can help your child and even you improve in all sorts of different areas of your life. Our guest is called Shola Alabi, and she is a qualified secondary school teacher and a tutor who owns two tutoring centres in East London, and she's also the mum of two children. And she's written a book called Parents Understand Your Child, which I read to prepare for the interview. And one of the chapters in the book is all about goal setting and how it can really help you to get focused in on certain areas that your child needs to improve on to see rapid progress towards their academic goals or any other goals in life, such as their well-being and their sporting achievements and all that kind of thing. So this is a really great episode, and it's something that I've really embraced, as you'll hear in the episode, in my family life, and I hope it inspires you too. Welcome to the School Success Formula, Shola Alabi.
Thank you very much, Lucy. It's really nice to be here.
Well, it's great to have you here. So, firstly, Shola, before we dive into all the stuff about goal setting, I'd love you to tell me a bit about what you do now and how you came to be doing it.
Okay. I'll start from the beginning and go backwards. I am a qualified teacher. At the moment, what privately, I own my own private tuition centres. I have worked with children for many years, and I found out that the only way that we could actually get our children, you know, to being a success that they should be is getting parents involved. So at this point in time, apart from tutoring privately within the centres, I also support parents within a group called the Raising Successful Children. That's what I am on at the moment. I do work with parents on a day-to-day basis where I support them. I am an author as well, so I'd use strategies from my recently launched book, that was last year, to support parents within the Raising Successful Children hub platform.
Okay, so how did you discover that the role of parents was so key to the success of their children?
Okay, I forgot to mention that I'm a parent as well.
It's quite an important thing.
Yeah, I am a mum of two amazing children. And I remember when, of course, I, as a classroom teacher as well, a number of years ago, I don't want to give away the age, I went to my daughter's first parents' evening when she was in reception. She's 19 tomorrow, by the way. So that was a number of years ago. So whilst sitting in with the teacher, there were a few things. Of course, I did not realise, you know, being a parent, being a teacher, that you'd still have to put in so much, you know, to helping your child pick up the necessary skills, you know, by age 5 or by age 6. So sitting there, listening to her teacher then, bless her, she was amazing. She explained to me and said, you know, we can cover so-and-so in school, but of course at home, you should be doing, or, you know, this is what you should be doing to help to support your child to be able to do A, B or C. I mean, I did share a story in the book where, you know, at her parents' evening, and then we went home that day, and that's where the journey began, you know. And then I realized that even being a parent or as being a teacher, you still need to put in, you know, a lot of work to help your children achieve the success that they deserve, you know, to achieve.
Yeah, definitely. So I read your book in preparation for the podcast. It's called Parents Understand Your Child, yes?
Mm-hmm. Yes, and, yes.
One of the things, the chapters I found most interesting was about how you've used goal setting in your family to help your children achieve their potential. So can you tell me a bit about how that started off to begin with?
Okay, I mean, I said earlier on that I've got two amazing children. They're completely different. One's chalk, the other one's cheese. I have always been a very organized person. So I've always believed in, you know, you set a goal, you set your mind to doing something and you go ahead and you achieve it. I didn't realize that, you know, it was, I thought, you know, everybody had it, you know. I'd always used to say to my husband, you know, it doesn't take the brains of Britain to work this out. And he would look at me as in, oh, you know. So when my daughter or when my children, you know, got to that age and they started at school, I now tried as much as possible to, you know, introduce, you know, them to trying to set a goal. Not necessarily just the academics, but in every area. My daughter, you know, she's the first. She was very compliant. My son, was the boundary testing type of child, you know. So we'd started off, I can't remember exactly when, but we'd every Christmas or every December, we'll sit down and we'd have, we called it a vision board party, you know, where we'd, after we've had, you know, ready for the new year. So I would come up with, you know, what is it that we've done last year that we could do better, you know, at, or what is it, or you. So we come up with, or we narrowed it down. We've actually become, you know, it's now become like a yearly event for us. But then it was like, oh, you got told off, you know, what can you do to improve in your behavior? You know, oh, mom's always shouting, what can we do? So we all sat down and decided to come up with a goal, you know, and then over the years we've increased it to three goals to each category. So we have three categories, actually four,
okay,
you know, that we've set goals under. The first one is your physical well-being. So it could be a case of I would eat all my fruits and vegetables on a daily basis, you know, or I would exercise, or I would go to the gym, you know. So that's to do with physical well-being. The next category is behavior and attitude.
Okay.
You know, so that's where the mom is always shouting, or, you know, I mean, and we'd always do it together, so it's not a case of pointing fingers at each other, you know. So it could be my son would say, I will not talk back, you know. And the third category is in the area of academics for the kids, you know. So it could be, I would score 95% in my next maths test. So of course it has to be realistic, and I can go a bit more into detail when we talk about that. And then the last is, well, because we're actually Christian, so I would set a goal under spiritual. So the four categories are physical well-being or wellness, behavior and attitudes, or attitudes and behavior. The third one is academics, you know, and the fourth one is, well, my husband and I will do, you know, finances and other bits, but the kids, I mean, and then the last one would be spiritual, you know, which could be, I would, you know, read a verse of the Bible every day, or I would pray every morning, or I would talk about God, you know. So so those are the four different areas that we'd set goals under.
Yeah. That's fantastic. It's great to see that they're in different areas as well, and that you're working on improving all aspects of life really at the same time. So what I'd love to know is, when did you start kind of getting the positive feedback? So seeing the results of setting the goals that made you think, this is working.
Okay. I remember when my daughter was 10, because she wanted to, you know, she's always wanted to do really well. So she wanted to do the 11 plus exams, which is the exams that you do to get a place into a selective school. I mean, I actually am a tutor, and I'd actually tutor quite a number of kids, but of course we don't force, we don't, you know, it's what you'd really want. We'll tell them what the benefits are, and then you make a choice. So she wanted to do that. So she set herself a target, or she set herself a goal, you know, of not just passing the exams, but passing the exams and being one of the top 25%, okay, you know. And I thought, oh, wow. I mean, how ambitious. And that goal made her work herself really hard. She worked her socks off that year for those 9-10 months, and thank God, you know, not only did she passed extremely well, and she got a place in all, I mean, she got a place in one of the top grammar schools, as well as the independent schools that she wrote exams for.
Wow.
So that was, you know, oh, wow. And that also, you know, encouraged her brother, who was, there's 6.5 years between my two, mm-hmm. who at his time as well, of course, wasn't as ambitious as his sister,
yeah.
you know, he set himself a goal that he would, you know, pass all the exams that he writes. And he wrote 3 exams and he passed them, you know. So that, I think, of course, it's not because they've, you know, it's exams, they've passed the exams, but it's, you know, the positive influence on his, yeah. on her younger brother as well,
yeah.
you know. And as well to us, mom and dad, you know, as in, oh, wow, this is so encouraging, you know, and that's why we started taking it a lot more seriously.
Yeah,
I then decided to share the practice with, you know, some of my friends and, you know, in church as well. We actually, you know, I'd say this as well. Earlier on in the year, I did have a big thing about goal setting. I mean, I shared a Facebook Live and I talked about all of these 4 categories. And I had some people invite me to come and talk about it in churches. And we actually had a vision board party in my church with the oh, Sunday wow. school, where, of course, parents got involved. And I mean, I got a testimonial from one of the parents in August. No, actually, no, it wasn't in August, September. No, actually, it was in earlier on than August, when she got a place in one of the schools that she wanted to go to, you know. Mm-hmm. And Ron also said that my son has now, he would always want to have their fruits and their vegetables because, you know, it was a goal that they set and then they got incentives because they did it, you know. So
yeah.
it is amazing how, you know, one little idea now, you know, becomes something that everybody, you know, now practices. And like I said, it's not just about the academics, it's the well-being, you know, it's the behavior yeah. of our children, it's those attitudes, those behaviors, the physical wellness, you know, and that is it really. I mean, Lucy, that's one of the reasons why I have done.
Yeah,
it's
fascinating you talking about your daughter setting this goal for herself initially of wanting to take the 11 plus and get it within the top 25%. And, you know, that for me is one of the key things about motivation and achieving goals, is that it has to come from within. It has to come
Absolutely.
From the person themselves. And I think what some parents listening to this might be wondering is, okay, so I can see the benefit of setting my child goals, but how do I get their buy-in to make this happen for them if they're perhaps difficult to motivate or a bit disenfranchised about their education?
What I would say, I mean, and like I said earlier on, we actually made it very fun and interactive. So it wasn't a case of, oh, yeah, we're all sitting down and setting goals. No, it was after Christmas, you know, I mean, after Christmas, and everyone's in that, you know, nice celebration, relaxing mood. And we just said, OK, this year we're going to be doing something different. You know, we had pictures. I mean, we'd also set them because we were all at home. It was during the holiday period. We set them off to go and look for pictures. What do you really want to do? You know, what do you want to achieve? So we did not restrict it mainly to the academics, because that can be off-putting, you know. So it was, what do you really want to achieve within the next 12 months? What is it that you really, I mean, I remember my daughter's vision board last year was amazing. In fact, I put my hands down and say to her, do you mind me stealing this, you know, to show off? And she was happy, or she was fine. So she actually had pictures of, you know, of a BMW, because she was taking driving lessons. She wanted to pass her driving test. So it's making it I would say start off with what they're fascinated about rather than what we as their parents want them to achieve. So it's whatever they're motivated or they're happy or they love to do. My son loves football. So we start from there, you know. And of course, if you really want to be fit or play football and want to, you know, you'd have to eat your vegetables, you'd have to, you know. So it's just taking what they love.
Yes.
And facilitating and getting it to where we, of course, want them to get to, yeah. if that makes sense. So that answers the question, Lucy.
Yeah, it does. I think, yeah, starting with what motivates them is really important. But I'll tell you now, when I read this chapter of the book, I was like, okay, I'm going to do this with my children. And they are 7 and 5.
Oh,
and
well done.
The big problem I was having with my daughter is that she's always been incredibly messy. She's very academic and, you know, she loves learning and all that kind of thing. But she leaves a trail of destruction behind her. And she has not got time to tidy up because she's just too busy wanting to learn and move on to the next thing. And so I have this rule that everything has to be tidy up by the end of Sunday night, so it's all clean for a Monday. And we were having arguments about this every week and she was resisting it. So I was like, okay, let's turn this in. I read your book and I was like, let's turn this into a goal. And I went to her and I talked to her about it and she was really excited about it. And I said, but okay, let's have a reward that you get. So we're going to do it for a half term, and so the reward will come at the end of the half term. And I asked her, I said, it's not going to be an expensive thing because this is something you should be doing. So I'm not paying you effectively for doing this, but you can have a reward, an incentive. And I said, what do you think you'd like? And I left it. She couldn't think of anything to begin with. And then she came and she said to me, I'd like to choose our tea one night.
Oh, bless her.
So that's if she tidies her room up without me shouting at her for 7 weeks for the whole of the half term, she's going to get to choose her favourite tea one night.
Fantastic.
So that's fantastic. But the other thing that I've done is I've created charts. She loves charts. She loves stickers, all that kind of thing. And so I've done a weekly version and a daily version. So she gets to tick off every week when I say I'm happy with her room. And then my son, he's also doing one, and he's in year one, and he's learning how to his letter formations, because his writing isn't coming on that quickly. So we've said we're going to practice one a day, and he gets to tick off at the end of every day when he's done it, and I'm happy that he's done it. And he's chosen as his reward choosing a film for us all to watch together as a family.
Oh, fantastic. So that's more family time as well, Lucy. Yeah. So very good. Well done.
But I think what's really incentivized both of them is having the tick chart so they can see their progress.
Yes.
And having that reward at the end. And I was really, really fixed that it wasn't going to be something expensive or flashy. It was something but it would be something that they would enjoy and relish. And clearly they're both value family time and that kind of thing, so but it's so sweet that they've chosen those things as their rewards. So yeah, I think just kind of concluding that, I think it's really important that it comes from the child. Maybe as a parent you have to steer them a little bit towards something that will help them, and it's something that is measurable. So my son, for one of them, he's always been a really, really slow eater, and sometimes he'll take an hour to eat his evening meal.
Oh, wow.
And
oh, bless.
He said, okay, I want to eat my tea quicker. And I was like, okay, what about eat my tea within half an hour, because then it's a measurable thing.
It's measurable. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's got to come from them, but we've kind of got to help them shape it into something that, you know, you can say, yes, you've achieved it, or no, you haven't. And then having rewards and have a way of tracking it as well, I think is really important.
Oh, yeah. I mean, one thing that I did write about in the book as well is, of course, you know, being specific, being, you know, like you've rightly said, being able to measure it, you know, and also having a deadline or a time scale. So I really like the fact that you've said finishing your tea in half an hour and then you'd get A, B or C in return. One thing that I'd always encourage, like you've rightly said, is, you know, being in charge. I mean, not sitting on top of them as in, you know, but just making sure you make them understand that, yes, you're going to be getting this when you've done that, rather than giving them an open check and saying, tell me what you want if you've done that or if you've met that target or that goal. I would also share, when my daughter actually finally passed the exams and we said, oh, what would you want? And she said, she would like to go on a holiday to Florida. My husband and I looked at each other and thought, oopsie. So we said to her, yes, we did put our word out, but give us a year. So we had to get our act together and start saving. We couldn't do it. You know, we couldn't get there for that summer, but the following summer, we all went away, you know. So that, I mean, that was a lesson I learned. that no way, I'm not going to give an open check anymore or an open, you know. So I would always say, this is what you would get, you know, or what would you, you know. So it's kind of been, of course, the age of the child matters as well. I wouldn't ask my son what he wants. It would be a case of me telling him, oh, this is what you would get, or you would go out with your friends, or, you know, get the opportunity. So,
My next question was going to be, what pitfalls do you see families falling into when they're setting goals? There's one there, that you don't give them an open-ended you know, reward, like unlimited expense. Is there anything else? And we talked a little bit about making it specific and measurable. Are there any other pitfalls that you've seen other families fall into with setting these
the
goals?
The other thing as well would be making sure it's realistic, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, because if we'd like to set a goal, it has to be realistic. So, I mean, I'll give an example as well. If a child is actually scoring 50% in their maths test,
yeah,
and you'd set them a goal of during the next term or next half term, they would score 90%, you know. Maybe within the next month or so when they have the next maths test, mm-hmm. I think that's been unrealistic,
yes,
because, of course, they have to go from the 50 to the 60, from the 60 to the 70, you know, so that it has to be
achievable.
Something that, that's achievable. So it has to be a realistic. So that's some of the things that I would say, you know, what happened when we started many years ago, and that could end in frustration, not just for the child alone, but of course for the parent, or not for the parents, but the child as well. Yeah. So we really don't want to put them off. So it has to be a goal that's realistic, you know, and, you know, you could measure progress. And also, you know, when they are in moving in the right direction, celebrate, acknowledge, you know,
yes,
appreciate the fact that they're putting in the effort, even if they don't, you know, achieve the goal per se, but if you could actually see that there is progress, you know, or they're making an effort, you
yes
know, a pitfall is not recognizing that and not, I mean, acknowledging that and appreciating that and saying to the child, well done, we're not there yet, but, you know.
Yeah.
No,
one thing I would say about that is, like, setting things like goals for marks on tests, I would actually steer away from that, because I think that's not very growth mindset. What I would do is say, think about, okay, so you want to improve your marks in your maths. What do you think you need to do in order to improve those marks? And you might get ideas like, I don't know, learn the equations for trigonometry off by heart, or practice past paper questions, or do some practice every single day, or ask a teacher. So actually break the goal down into something that is something to do with learning, improving your maths.
Oh yes, of course. I mean, what I'd always do is, of course, that would be the goal, and then we would have steps on how to actually, you know, attain or achieve that goal. So those are the things you've actually already mentioned, as in, you know, going and doing 5 extra maths questions on that topic every evening, you know, going to ask the teacher for help if you get stuck, you know, and I mean, so, but of course, having steps, you know, I mean, I always look at goals as, you're upstairs, I'm downstairs, I need to go from upstairs all the way from downstairs all the way upstairs. I have to go on those steps, and those steps are what I actually sit down and teach and say, how would you get there, you know, how would you get to that percentage, or how would you improve that grade by doing A, B, C, D, or taking those steps. Bravo, we're saying exactly the same things there, Lucy.
Definitely. Yeah. So one of my clients, he's learning Russian for one of his GCSEs, and he's really, really struggled with it. So earlier in the summer, we set a target of, he was going to spend 15 minutes on Russian every single day. And that's really, really helping him to learn vocabulary and recap the grammar and all that kind of thing. And that's, you know, that's never going to be a waste of time.
Of course not.
Like that. And another girl I'm working with, she's decided that there are three particular GCSEs that are her weaker subjects, which I think are chemistry, ancient Greek and Spanish, and she wants to do 10 minutes every day on each of those three subjects, so that she's always kind of improving her base level of knowledge in those subjects on top of her homework and all that kind of thing. And I think having mini targets, I wrote a blog post quite a long time ago. It was about mini habits, which is this idea that you have a habit, but you make it so small, it's stupid not to do it. So the guy who came up with this idea, he was called Stephen Gies, he wanted to get fit, and but he just never seemed to get to the gym, and he kept thinking, okay, so what could I break it down to like give me a fitness goal that's actually going to work? And what he came up with in the end was one push-up. I'm never going to be able to come up with a decent excuse not to do one push-up. And so this was his daily goal, and he had succeeded every day if he did one push-up. And he did that, but often what he found was he'd do one push-up and he might do five more, or he might do 20, and then he might turn over and do some sit-ups, and then I don't know, he might do something else. And actually it worked for him in getting fit, and he extended it to, he wanted to read more and he wanted to write more. So he had a goal of reading one page a day and writing 50 words per day. And some days that would be all that he did, but on other days he would do much more. So I think the lesson that I take from that, and in the blog post, I say to people, you know, choose something that is really achievable and that you can do. Don't set the goal too high. Don't say you're going to do an hour of maths practice every day, because that's just not going to happen, along with every other single subject that you're trying to do. But if you say you're going to do 10 minutes or you're going to do one past paper question, that could happen, because it's a much smaller thing, and it's much harder to find excuses not to do something that takes 5 minutes than it is to find excuses.
And something that I also teach as well, which I call the MAP, which is the minimum achievable point, is which is what you're saying, Lucy, which is absolutely brilliant, is if the minimum you can do is 5 minutes, then let's start with that. You know, and gradually, so it was a case of not doing a lot of exercise. And I just said, okay, if I just do 10 frog jumps in the morning, and gradually, you know, build up on that, or just take a 5 minute walk and just come back home, you know, although I'll be panting, you know, and then of course build it up. So that's the minimum achievable point, you know, and then that would be a maximum. So if it takes me 10 months to get to the maximum, so be it. But at least I am gradually walking up the steps, one after the other. Yeah, fantastic. Great. That's,
I think it's really helpful to, because otherwise you're setting yourself up for failure by making these goals too big. Okay, well, I think that's been a really interesting talk about goals and how to set them, and, you know, keeping them short term, keeping, you know, like over a half term, I think is a perfect length of time for young people in particular, and making sure you're building towards something that is worth doing and that your child is motivated to accomplish. I think that's really important. Before we finish, Shola, I'd just like to talk about one of the other chapters in your book, which was about learning styles and parents getting to understand their child's personality and how they like to learn. Can you tell us a bit more about that and why it's important?
Okay, I mean, as I said earlier on, you know, I mean, I do work with quite a lot of children, and because I really want to make a difference, I then found out that the best way to be able to actually make this difference and a lasting impression is for parents to understand their children, which is where the title of the books come from. And I've noticed that there were a few things that, you know, well, a number of things that parents need to know or understand about their children. And the first thing was their personality, because like I said, my children, you know, I've got two that are completely different. So that was where I started, well, that's where the thought started coming from, you know. So because I then took the time out to know them, I mean, if you'd like to get the book, then it would be a good idea to, you know, you can read all of
I'll put a link to it in the show notes so that people can find it.
Oh, fantastic. You know, thanks, Lucy. Then apart from knowing their personality, because of course, when you've got this in, you know, this person being an introvert or an extrovert, then you would act differently. So getting to know that helped me to structure them, or to not structure them, to structure their learning in a particular way. So then apart from that, how they learn and how they take things in was such a big thing for me, apart from, you know, learning that during teacher training. But of course, with my children as well, mm-hmm. it was a case of one of them just wants to listen. You know, mom, can you explain this to me? Mom, can you talk about this to me? Or mom, let's talk about this topic. And then the other one just has, you know, posters all over her bedroom, you know, wanting to see this or wanting. So that made me go on and research a lot more about the learning styles of children. Mm-hmm. You know, one, what it helps them to do, or what my well, I'm not going to give names, I'll give it away. One of them would say, oh, I get it now. I really understand it, Mom, the way you've explained it to me. And then I would tell the child number one, or child number two, to then say it back to me. And then, yes, I can tell that they have. And that made me understand, or made me know, that children learn differently. So learning becomes easier and more effective when we structure their learning to their preferred learning style. Yeah, you know,
definitely.
I mean, so that's where all of that came from, and that's where I got that out for parents to, you know, take the time to find out, is my child someone who would see things and take them in? Is my child always wanting to write things down? Is my child always wanting me to discuss or talk about things? Is my child, you know, wanting to grab things, you know, and do things?
Yeah.
You know, so that's, and like I said, once your child is happy, they enjoy learning, they become a lot more confident.
Yes.
You know, they do well, you know, they yeah. would of course be a success, they would achieve the success that we want them to do. So that's why I did talk about those areas, you know, yeah. knowing your child's person, being able to relate with them based on their personality, putting things in place so that, you know, their personality is put into perspective.
Yeah.
And of course, knowing what they love to do.
Yeah.
And their learning styles. Yeah.
Yeah. I think this is really important because there was a comment in my Facebook group during exam season in the summer from a parent who was like, who suddenly had this eureka moment that they'd been trying to get their child to revise in the way that had worked for them when they were at school. And they suddenly realised that that didn't work for their child. And they'd kind of been pushing them in the wrong direction. And I think it's really important for parents to understand that just because it worked for you doesn't mean it's going to work for your child.
Yes.
And that's really important because, yeah, you can waste so much time and waste so much heartache, really, if you're trying to get mm-hmm. them to do things in the wrong way.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and the other thing people to is I give away a free chapter of my book, which is all about children or students assessing how they learn best and reflecting on their successful learning experiences. It's chapter 8 of my book, if people have got a copy of that, but I'll put a link to where people can download that free chapter in the show notes so that people can see that as well, because I think that's a really practical task, and I've seen so many people have kind of light bulb moments when they work through it mm-hmm. and make them see that revision doesn't have to be boring reading the textbook with a highlighter. It can be so many other things.
It can be done in so many interesting ways. Absolutely. Yeah. Yes, I agree. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Fantastic. Yeah. Well, it's been really, really great to have this conversation, Shola. And I just love this idea of bringing goals to children of all ages, whether they're five, like my little boy at the moment, or whether they're 19, like your little mm-hmm. girl is going to be tomorrow.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So where can parents find out more about your work and connect with you?
Okay, parents can actually find me on my web page or my website, which is www.shollaalabi.com. And they could also connect with me in my members hub, which is a membership subscription website, which is also membershub.shollaalabi.com.
Okay.
And also, I mean, like I said earlier on, I am a planning person. You know, if you're, you know, it's kind of become my middle name now. And what I did over last summer was I came up with a planner called a handy planner for parents.
Okay.
And everything that we've spoken about is actually in there. It's a tool to actually help parents to become organized. I mean, not in a bad way, mm-hmm. but of course, you know, having everything that's goal setting, all the way through to routines, all the way through to parents evening notes, all the way to half-term plans, everything, yeah. Actually all the way to, you know, exam types, study planner. You could actually stick your revision plan or exam plan in there. So everything is all in one place, you know, all incorporated into one book, which is my new baby, which is why I'd said, you know, Parents Understand Your Child has not been recently launched, is a year old, but this was launched in August. So that you could also lay your hands on if you'd really want to dig into setting goals and, you know, keeping routines and having everything all together and being organized with the kids. Yeah.
Where do people get their hands on that or find out more about it?
I mean, that's also, I mean, on Amazon. I could share a link as well with you, Lucy.
Yeah, if you send me the link, I'll put the link in the show notes so that everybody can find it really, really easily.
Thank you so much for that, Lucy. That's I'm really grateful. Thank you.
Okay. Well, I think we also wanted to let people know about a way that in which you and I are going to work together in 2018. So do you want to tell people a little bit about that?
Oh, yes, actually. Yes. In September of 2018, the 1st of September to be exact, we will be having a parents' workshop. It's an annual event that I actually run, which is called the Start the School Year Right. I know that a lot of our children over the summer holiday actually, you know, get all excited as well as parents. I do as well, you know, and we tend to, you know, just get relaxed about routines. We get relaxed about goals. And then September comes and we're like, oh, gosh, where do we start from? So what I do on a yearly basis is I do have a program or a workshop called the Start the Year Right. And our amazing Lucy is going to be one of our keynote speakers.
Yay.
You know, so so this is actually going to be happening in London. There is the event has actually got a it's already set up, so you could register on Eventbrite, and I'm sure Lucy would be happy to share the link as well. So like I said, it's actually a workshop where we will be getting our hands down, planning, you know, coming up with goals, talking about routines, and that's where I come in. And then we'll also be focusing on how we could actually help our children start off with the right attention skills so that they can start well and finish the year strong. Yeah. And Lucy too will be coming on and sharing, you know, how we could actually keep them getting those top grades, yeah, you know, in their exams. And also we'd have someone who would be talking about the mindset, how we could actually develop a successful mindset for our children. So it's actually going to be an amazing day,
yeah,
packed with a lot of resources and information that would help us start the year right and finish the school year strong.
I'm so excited because it is so important. I'm always like trying to get people on board with all this stuff right from the beginning of September. And this is going to be on the 1st of September, because how you start makes how you finish so much better. If you can put in the right kind of routines, the right habits, the right practices right from the beginning of the school year, exam season is going to be a doddle.
Absolutely, Lucy.
If you leave it all until February or even Easter, in which case it turns into a stressful kind of meltdown, which nobody wants to see. So I think this
is
a brilliant event and really well-timed. And I'll put the link in the show notes as well, so that, and it's very affordable as well. So people, if they're able to get to London, I know you haven't quite decided exactly where the venue is because you don't know the exact numbers yet, but it's going to be in London. So if you can get to London, then please do come along, and I'd love to meet you, and I know Shola would love to meet you too, and we'll get the academic year of 2018 to 2019 started on the right foot.
absolutely yes.
Okay, well, it's been a great conversation today, Shola. Thank you for coming on and sharing your wisdom and teaching some stuff that will really, really help families make the most of their children's potential. So thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much, Lucy, for having me. It's been such an amazing morning. Thank you so much.
It's a pleasure.
Bye-bye. Bye.
I thought that was a really great conversation and really useful, so it's something that I hope you can take away and start putting in place in your family life. If you're interested in finding out more about Shola or following up on some of the links that we talked about in the episode, you can find the episode at lifemoreextraordinary.com/21. And I really would encourage you, if you live in the southeast particularly, to consider coming along to Shola's event on the 1st of September in 2018. It would be absolutely lovely to meet you, and I think it's the perfect time of year to start getting all the best practices in place for your child. On that note, I just wanted to remind you that you've just got 2 weeks left to join the waiting list for my course, The Exam Success Formula. We're very, very close to the end of the course now for the first lot of students and parents, and it has been an absolutely fantastic experience for all of them and for me as well, because I've seen such improvement and change in not only the students' study habits, but the way that students and parents are communicating with each other about their goals and their visions and the intricacies of their everyday studies and homework and everything. And it's just really, really inspired me. So if you would like to get on the waiting list and be in with the chance to save £50 off the list price of the course, I will be sending an email out on the 20th of November, that's a Monday, to everybody who is signed up for the waiting list, and they will get a 1 week advantage over everybody else to sign up onto the course and save £50. The course isn't going to be open for unlimited numbers of people, because I want to be able to build up that personal relationship with everybody taking part and give everybody my attention. And there's already over 30 people on the waiting list, so if all of those people truly are serious about signing up, then I will probably have to close the sign up to the course before it goes out to my wider email list and social media community. So if you are interested in the course and you would like to get on the waiting list and have that first refusal at signing up for the run of the course that starts on the 20th of January 2018, then I really encourage you to go to the show notes, which is lifemoreextraordinary.com/21. Find the link for the exam success formula and get yourself signed up to the waiting list. I really look forward to working with you and your child. Okay, thank you so much for listening today. It's been an honour and a pleasure having you here. Have a wonderful day. Goodbye.